Welcome today to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is June 15, 2017, and today we will be holding a work session on HB 5002, Department of Administrative Services. And with that, we'll turn it over to LFO. Oh, that's right. And now we're going to open up the work session on HB 5002, Department of Administrative Services.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, the LFO recommended budget for the Department of Administrative Services is $1,060,557,127 total funds, which is comprised of $9,896,808 of general fund, $22,260,472 of lottery funds, $998,413,094 of other funds, and $129,896,751 other funds non-limited, and 898 positions. I'm going to work through the work session presentation report for the Department of Administrative Services. Starting on page 3 of 67, this package 090, analyst adjustments. This continues two limited duration positions approved during the 2016 session to implement House Bill 4135 to assist agencies with requests of public records that are in electronic form. This is an increase of $420,155 of other funds expenditure limitation, two positions and two FTE. Package 102 converts one limited duration information systems specialist position into a permanent full-time position. Position provides staffing for internal DAS IT support with an increase of $204,989,000 of other funds, one position and one FTE. Package 106, growing demand for COO services. This package establishes three permanent full-time positions to provide full staffing for DAS's IT help desk. The positions will provide dedicated support for important finance implications and workstation lifecycle replacement, and also help with operational assessments. It's an increase of $208,162,000 of other funds. This is supposed to be one position. One position is being approved. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments. This eliminates standard inflation on S&S. You'll see a number of packages like this in the recommendation. This is the first one of these. This is a $457,700 other funds expenditure limitation reduction, and a reduction of one position and one FTE because an operations analyst for position is moving to the Enterprise Asset Management Program to be the new DAS Sustainability Coordinator. Package 809, you also see this package throughout the LFO recommendation. This is related to hiring slowdown. This increases the assumed savings from vacancies by holding vacant positions unfilled for a longer than normal period of time in order to generate additional savings from the planned hiring slowdown to be conducted during the 2017-19 biennium as a means of achieving statewide cost containment in salaries and wages. This is a reduction of $395,213 of other funds. Package H12, vacant position elimination. There are a number of these packages in the LFO recommendation. This package eliminates three long-term vacant positions, two project managers and an economist, for a total other funds reduction of $590,411, three positions and three FTE. Package 814, DAS IT security positions consolidation. This transfers an IT specialist, or an information specialist 8 position to the Office of State Chief Information Officer as part of the centralization of information technology security positions and responsibilities as codified in Senate Bill 90. Is a reduction of $323,289 of other funds, one position and one FTE. And you'll see this position being added in another package later in the Chief Information Officer's budget recommendations. Moving on to Chief Financial Office on page 11 of 67. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustment. This eliminates most standard inflation on S&S and removes funding for out-of-state travel and makes additional unspecified reductions to services supplies. It's a $250,000 other funds expenditure limitation reduction. Package 809, hiring slowdown. This is, again, as described earlier, and this is a reduction of $214,606 of other funds expenditure limitation in anticipation of a hiring slowdown next biennium. Moving on to the Office of the State Information Officer on page 14 of 67. is Package 100, IT Procurement and Vendor Management Program. This package requests two positions to implement the Basecamp IT Procurement, which would simplify IT procurement. This work is continued by two limited duration positions that were approved during the 16 legislative session. It's an increase of $449,678 of other funds, two positions and two FTE. Package 801, LFO Analyst Adjustment. This eliminates standard inflation on SNS and removes funding for out-of-state travel. It also eliminates six strategic technology officers established in 1517 to act as coordinators between the OSCIO and the executive branch agencies. Each position costs just under $350,000 per biennium. This package also reduces funding to complete Project Music during the 17-19 biennium by $522,492 and establishes six limited duration positions to complete the project. I would note that there's no position change because you're eliminating six positions, but then adding six new limited duration positions. So the total funds, other funds reduction for this package is $3,844,701.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Seaver, do you want to wait until you're done for questions?
Anytime.
This may have been sent to me and in the press of business. I just missed it. What's the status of Project Music right now?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I believe they've worked out all the details with the contractor IBM, and the project is back working on the implementation. They expect to be done, I believe, around midway through the next biennium.
I would just like to flag, both for the interest of the director who's here as well as others that might be involved, after we had the hearing during phase one of that discussed Project Music and we learned to our shock that the project was in a stop work, I got a flurry of emails about how unhappy users are with that system. And I don't know whether or not those are well known to the agency, whether or not they were lifted up during the restart and accommodation was made to address them. I don't know the status. I'm happy to share them. But users are pretty not happy. And I just flag that for everybody's consideration.
Okay. Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the equipment we use is IBM, but the contractor is not IBM. So I don't want to throw them under the bus.
Mr. Chair and Senator DeBoer, I would have to check and make sure. I recall that the information I got was that they had been working out some details with IBM.
Yeah, that might be software, but I think it's a subcontractor that's installing the system. I've heard the same things as Senator Johnson.
Can we get an answer rather than chasing this through email and phone calls? I'd love to know what the answer is.
That's Director and all of these other who has.
I see the lifeline approaching.
For the record, I'm Terrence Woods, the Deputy State CIO. For your state of Oregon. I am the sponsor for the Project Music, and so co-chairs, members of the committee, Senator Johnson. The stop work has been lifted. We are definitely well aware of user satisfaction around the system. We have had several legacy systems that are spanned from 15 to 30 years old in some cases. And so much like an old house, it's been a big lift, and people get used to their phones, they get used to the functionality, and we've poured more money into training. We've added, I've even pulled additional staff from other areas to try to continue to help move this project forward. As of this date, we're 20,000 phones in, which represents about two-thirds the way through the project. We have about 10,000 to go, but we have surveys after each implementation. We have a work group with other agency folks on that work group to constantly give us a feedback. And so I would say that we definitely are aware of the issues. We take them on as they come in. And also, Senator DeBoer, in this particular case, IBM is our managed services provider for the phones. The subcontractor in this case is Unify.
Mr. Chair,
question.
I don't want to protract this or be argumentative, but and I understand people wedded to an old, as you described it, functionality. But when people that are hard of hearing can't hear on the device, I don't think that's wedded to an old functionality. That's if you're hearing impaired, not being able to use your instrument is, I think, more than just wedded to an old functionality.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Senator Johnson, I would agree. I had not heard that particular complaint, but certainly I would, if we can reach out or whatever I need to do to reach out to whomever's having that issue, I would certainly have IBM as our provider take a look at that.
If I may respond, I will round up the litany of complaints, and I will try to cleanse them of the origin to the degree that I think people are concerned when they're critical of agencies, and I have promised to provide anonymity to some of these folks, but I want it sufficiently explicit that you can actually address it. I think making it more difficult for people that have hearing issues is pretty serious.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee?
Thank you, sir.
Moving on to package 802, position reclassifications. And again, this is in the Office of the State Information, Chief Information Officer. This reclassifies four positions, establishes a new program analyst four to serve as the transparency program manager. The new position is funded through the elimination of a vacant position in package 812. And the cost of the reclassifications is $228,222 of other funds. And also moves an ISS 8 position working on customer business needs out of the OSCIO to the State Data Center, and moves a PMF manager position, which should have been moved in a previous reorganization, from the State Data Center into the OSCIO. So the net change is $373,764, one position and one FTE.
Johnson.
Thank you. I know that we all heard the presentation. It seems now like light years ago, and we hear it at a very superficial level, and it's when you go through the actual budget documents that it engenders a lot more questions. The transparency function, what will become heretofore unrevealed, now revealed to us? What's the transparency going to reveal?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, this is related to the transparency website and operation of the transparency website that the department operates.
Okay, I will take it upon myself, rather than chewing up the committee's time, to figure out what transparency and how to manipulate it. We talk so much about transparency in this process, and I find the talk much louder than the walk. And I'm just trying to figure what we are going to reveal to Oregonians or to legislators that requires, what did you say, four FTE?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, no, there's just one position
just
related
one.
To this. There's a number of other position actions in this package. This is just one position that's establishing the program analyst for. And this is a program that's been ongoing for a number of biennia. They put up a lot of financial information up on the transparency website.
Okay, thank you. I will inform myself.
Representative Ehrman?
I'll say, including the checkbook of the state of Oregon, which I use, and I used before I got to the legislature, and I use it even more now that I'm in the state of in the legislature, 1.4 million disbursements of the state of Oregon. So it's fun to look at.
Moving on to package 809, hiring slowdown. This is a reduction of $957,232 of other funds expenditure limitation. Package 812, vacant position elimination. This eliminates a long-term vacant ISS 8 position for a $218,064 other funds reduction of one position and one FTE. Package 814, IT security position consolidation. This is related to the earlier package. This transfers 35 information technology security positions, 34.75 FTE, from 12 different state agencies to the Office of the State Chief Information Officer to finalize the centralization of information technology security functions and responsibilities per executive order, which is also codified in Senate Bill 90. This is a $9,459,247 other fund increase, and an increase of 35 positions and 34.75 FTE. Moving on to the Chief Human Resource Office, Package 090, Analyst Adjustments. This eliminates three positions, an Executive Recruiter, an Admin Specialist 1, and a Training Development Specialist for a reduction of $685,019. Of other funds, three positions and three FTE. Package 100, Human Resource Information System, or HRIS. This adds 19.9 million other funds expenditure limitation, 30 limited duration positions for implementation, and three permanent positions to implement a new human resource information system to replace the state's legacy system. Planning for this statewide IT project began in 2012. At their May 2016 meeting, the emergency board authorized an additional 6.5 million other funds to complete project planning through Stage Gate 3, issue a request for proposal, evaluate RFP proposals, issue an intent to award, and complete fit gap analysis. The selected vendor is Workday. The IT product chosen is a software as a service solution. Gartner will provide quality assurance, and IBM will serve as the systems integrator. Of the total funding provided, ongoing costs are assumed to be $5,939,974 of other funds in the next biennium, with the rest of the funding and limited duration positions phased out during the 1921 budget development. I would note that there is $3,280,423 of other funds remaining from the amount provided during the May 2016 emergency board that can be used to implement HRIS, which results in DAS needing $1,602,085 less in assessment revenue to implement HRIS during 1719 biennium than was assumed in the DAS budget request. I would note the package also includes $220,516 of other funds expenditure limitation for planning costs relating to replacing the next statewide administrative information system, the state payroll system. The total adjustment is a $20,162,469 of other funds increase, 33 positions, and 29.5 FTE.
Rep. Learman.
Thank you, Chair Manning. So I want to ask LFO, what's the source of the other funds? Are those assessments to other agencies?
Mr. Chair and Representative Nierman, that's correct. There are assessments to other agencies.
Thank you.
Moving on to Package 801 on page 23 of 67 is LFO Analyst Adjustment. This eliminates most standard S&S and removes funding for out-of-state travel in the Chief Human Resource Office. This is a $37,811 other funds reduction. Package 802, position reclassification. This reclassifies an HR consultant 1 position to an HR consultant 2. There's no increased cost this biennium because the current occupant will occupy a lower step in the new classification. Legislative LFO is recommending approval. Package 809, hiring slowdown. This increases, again, the assumed savings from vacancies during the next biennium for a reduction of $484,092 of other funds. I'm going to skip over page 26 of 67 because that's not really in the budget. Starting on page 28 of 67 is the Office of the State Information Officer, the State Data Center. Package 90 partially reduces expenditures for mainframe data processing, eliminates contracting expenditures, and terminates maintenance on end-of-life IT resources. This is a reduction of $3,480,000. $642 of other funds. Package 102 makes permanent three positions established in the current biennium as limited duration. These positions will provide services to state agencies and replace work that had been done through outside contractors. The positions are an Information System Specialist 3, Operations and Policy Analyst 4, and an Office Specialist 2 for an increase of $531,652 of other funds, three positions and three FTE. Package 105, growing demand for state data center services. This package would add three positions required to support growth and existing new services. There's no net increase in expenditures as the cost of the positions is offset by a like reduction in services and supplies. So the package only adds three position authority for three positions and three FTE. Package 108, likewise, three positions are added to support growing growth and existing and new services, and the cost of the positions is offset in like reduction in services supplies for a net change in three positions and three FTE. Package 801, LFO Analyst Adjustment. This eliminates standard inflation on S&S and capital outlay in the State Data Center. This is a $3,943,975 other funds expenditure limitation reduction. Package 802, position reclassification. This reclassifies three positions to a higher classification. The cost of these actions is $31,595 of other funds. It also moves a PMF manager position, which should have been moved in a previous reorganization, from the State Data Center to OSCIO, and moves an ISSA position working on customer business needs into the State Data Center from the OSCIO. The total adjustments are a reduction of $113,947 of other funds. 809 hiring slowdown. This is a reduction of $1,062,217 of other funds expenditure limitation. Moving on to enterprise asset management on page 36 of 67. Analyst adjustment. This package makes the following reductions. Reduces other funds service supplies limitation by $1,384,372 for lower fuel costs. Reduces other fund service supplies limitation by $1,973,078 for lower utility costs and uniform rent buildings. Reduces other funds professional services limitation by $397,027. Reduces other funds S&S limitation by $197,000, eliminating building maintenance for two DAS-owned OSP buildings, and reduces other fund service supplies limitation by $550,000 other funds to discontinue some building maintenance contracts. So the total reduction for this package is $4,501,477 of other funds.
Chair Manning.
Yes, Rep. Nearman.
Thank you. The OSP buildings, are those the ones on Portland Road out there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nearman, I would have to check and see. My inclination is that it is, but I would have to check and make sure.
Do you know if the state sold those buildings?
That I don't know.
Okay, thanks.
I will have to let you know.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to package 102.
Senator Johnson.
I'm just curious. I've sat in meetings this session talking about how we're not taking care of our buildings, and I know the janitorial is probably pretty low, or the building maintenance. I don't know whether this is janitorial. I don't know what this is. But we've got so many buildings deteriorating so fast, and I don't know whether this is an operational reduction. I don't know what the buildings are other than identified as OSP. And I don't know if this perpetuates the failure to care for our physical infrastructure.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, my understanding is it's more related to things like landscaping, carpet replacement, those kinds of non-structural changes.
Okay.
Package 102, convert limited duration positions to permanent staff. This is on page 37 of 67. This package converts five limited duration positions established in the current biennium. Perform custodial maintenance, groundskeeping, project maintenance, and real estate leasing work. The increase in personal services is offset by reduction in S&S, so it's only a position authority of five positions and five FTE. Package 106 adds a construction inspector position to help agencies address deferred maintenance and renovation projects. Again, there's no overall increase in expenditures since the personal services cost is offset by a like reduction in service supplies for a position authorization of one position and one FTE. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustment. This eliminates standard inflation for capital outlay and S&S, and removes funding for out-of-state travel. Also moves an operation and policy analyst moves it into the program from the chief operating office to serve as the new DAS sustainability coordinator. The total reduction is $1,926,374 of other funds, and establishes one position and one FTE. Package 802, position reclassification, reclasses seven positions into higher classifications. Again, there's no immediate cost for this, as the positions will occupy a lower step in the new classifications. Package 809, hiring slowdown. This increases the assumed savings from vacancies, as discussed earlier. For enterprise asset management, this is a reduction of $721,530 of other funds expenditure limitation. And then vacant position elimination, this eliminates a vacant manager position for a reduction of $293,113 of other funds, one position and one FTE. Moving on to enterprise goods and services, there's a package 8081 from the September 2016 emergency board. This establishes as permanent a full-time accounting tech 2 position that was approved during the September e-board for an increase of $134,465 of other funds, one position and one FTE. Package 090, analyst adjustments. This makes a number of reductions in the enterprise goods and services program. For a total reduction of $1,611,276 of other funds reduction. Next, 801 IT procurement. This adds $868,365 of other funds expenditure limitation to continue the IT vendor management work approved in the February 2016 session. So increases four positions and four FTE. Package 102, converting limited duration positions to permanent. This converts five limited duration positions added in 15-17 as permanent. There's no increase in expenditures as the increased personal services costs are offset by reductions to SNS. So it establishes five positions, five FTE. Package 107, I would note that there's a change in the narrative for this one. The numbers are correct, but the narrative was a little bit wrong. It adds $268,532 of other funds expenditure limitation for one position and one FTE for a claims consultant for the risk management program to deal with more complex claims and risk management. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustment. This eliminates most standard inflation, so it's a reduction of $755,768 of other funds. Package 802, position reclassification, reclassifies six positions, again for no increase in expenditure limitations by biennium. Package 809, hiring slowdown. This is a reduction for enterprise goods and services of $1,224,192 of other funds. Moving on to enterprise human resource services. Package 90 eliminates a full-time safety specialist position for a reduction of $228,455, one position and one FTE. Package 801 eliminates most standard inflation for a reduction of $30,255 of other funds. Moving on to DAS Business Services on page 56 of 67, eliminates two positions to support customer utility boards, a senior performance strategist, and an executive support specialist. CUB administrative support will instead be provided directly by the DAS service divisions for which the CUBs operate. This is a reduction of $335,965 of other funds, two positions and two FTE. Package 801 eliminates, again, most standard inflation in DAS Business Services for a reduction of $37,871 of other funds. Package 802 reclassifies an office specialist one position to an office specialist two with no increase in expenditure limitation this biennium. Package 809 hiring slowdown for DAS Business Services is a reduction of $76,483 of other funds. And finally, Package 812 vacant position elimination eliminates a long-term vacant policy analyst position in DAS Business Services for a reduction of $218,543 of other funds, one position and one FTE. There's one adjustment in capital improvements on page 62 of 67. Package 801 eliminates most standard inflation on capital outlay for a reduction of $162,918 of other funds. Miscellaneous distributions. There are no adjustments to current service level in this program. This program distributes shared revenues like OLCC money, cigarette tax, and mass transit tax to local entities. The next page, 64 of 67, DAS debt service. There are no adjustments to current service level here. This is bonding for DAS facilities and the debt service for those bonds. There's another program on page 65 and 67 called bonds. This is for the pension obligation bonds. You know, the state collects all pension obligation bond debt service centrally through DAS and pays them through this program unit. The last program unit starts on page 66 of 67. There's one adjustment for special governmental payments. There's an LFO adjustment to add other funds expenditure limitation for project grants funded through the issuance of lottery bonds that are not expected to be fully dispersed by the end of the current biennium for an increase of $13,984,990 of other funds expenditure limitation increase. And that's it for the adjustments to current service level.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Comments?
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I don't have a question, but I'd be happy to move the LFO recommendation on House Bill 5002.
Okay, LFO, you want to start this off?
Oh, no, just went through them all.
Okay.
For the last half hour.
All
so
right.
We're good to go.
It has been moved by Representative Gomberg to move the LFO recommendations to HB 5002 discussion. Let the records reflect that excused are co-chair Smith and also Representative Marsh. No discussion. Any objections? No objections. Motion carries.
Moving on to key performance measures, LFO is recommending that the committee approve the proposed key performance measures and targets, except for KPM number 11, which is recommended to be deleted. This is related to percentage reduction in greenhouse gas emissions.
Okay.
Representative. I have a few questions. I don't know if that
question. Representative Faye.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's one KPM, I'm just looking for it, about average miles per gallon for DAS permanently assigned fleet vehicles, number 6.
Mm-hmm.
That number is expressed in a percentage. Is that meant to be not a percentage? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Fahey, you are correct. That should be not a percentage. We will check. We will fix that before it goes to the final version for work for the full committee.
And one last question, which might be better suited under discussion, but one of the KPMs is number 4 is related to workforce turnover, and I'm just curious. It has both DAS workforce turnover and state workforce turnover. I'm just sort of interested what kinds of actions DAS takes to impact the overall turnover of the state workforce.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fahey, that question is beyond my pay grade. I will look for someone from the department maybe to talk about the work that DAS does on workforce turnover.
Lifeline approaching. Welcome. Oh, we got two. Okay. Two for the price of one.
I got the nod from my boss.
Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair, members, Katie Koba, State COO and Director of DAS. With me is Madeline Zeich, who is the Chief Human Resources Officer. So I'm going to turn it to Madeline to talk a little bit more about the Chief Human Resource Office role in terms of dealing with the enterprise of state government and the kinds of things that we do working with other state agencies to manage the retirements that we're expecting coming, employees that leave, some ideas that we have on recruitments. And I would say generally that I would say in the next couple of years, human resources is going to be a huge focus area for us in DAS and a lot of work to be done in this area. But Madeline spends a lot more time on these things than I do.
Okay. Co-Chair Manning, members of the committee, Representative Fahey, I think you're the one that answered the question. There are a lot of things that we're doing enterprise-wide regarding workforce
planning. Your
name, planning.
Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Madeline Zeich, State's Chief Human Resources Officer. There are many things that we're focusing on in the enterprise regarding workforce development. One of the most important things that I think are going on is the work that we're doing with state agencies. So often you'll see HR efforts that are really insulated or being developed in silos. And one of the things that we're doing is working on committees with not only state agency executives, but also work teams within the agencies to talk about some of their specific challenges and then assigning some projects to look at how we meet those challenges. For example, succession planning. Director Koba mentioned that we have a significant number of our workforce that is eligible to retire. We are hearing that there are some unanticipated retirements and that agencies weren't really thinking that an individual is going to go, and they've made other decisions. So we're working on succession planning, and we'll be rolling out some toolkits for those agencies to use regarding succession planning. A part of that work is also working with labor to talk about how they might help us with some training and guidance about what they're hearing in the workforce. So that's one piece of it. The other thing that we've been collaborating with the governor's office on is working on our affirmative action plans to do some additional deep dives on where we're getting our applicants from, where we're losing our applicants to, and what our workforce will look like in the future, because we all know the millennial workforce is going to look a little bit different than the current workforce. So the short answer to your question is one of the key components is reaching out to agencies. employees, finding out what their specific workforce needs are, figuring out what types of positions are difficult to fill. Do we need to do more training and collaboration and communication with universities and those that are the pipeline to our system? And then lastly, working on retaining the employees that we have and making sure that they're in the best jobs for their skills and that they're adequately trained.
Senator Johnson.
Right now, if you had to say there are any trends in agencies, and this is a somewhat of a trick question because I've been sitting here for 5 months listening to agencies come in and talk about difficulties. Give us a little sample of what you're hearing and what's your reporting methodology. How, for example, do you know how program managers staff in ODOT and Region 1? How are they doing? I mean, I'm just trying to feel out whether or not what you just said to Representative Fahey is aspirational or you're actually doing it.
Co-Chair Manning, Senator Johnson, some of it is aspirational, and a lot of it has to do with, and those aspirations are because we don't have a system yet. And so what we talked about today is the IT system that you've heard me talk about probably ad nauseum at this point. So agencies don't really have the automated tools to collect a lot of the information that we need. But we also, I think, are doing things that are helping agencies move forward. We've had the Oregon Management Project is one that agencies have been working with executive leadership on, looking at some of the challenges in our management ranks and what we need to do to train managers so that they're effective and accountable managers. So we're doing some of those things. So you're absolutely right. Some of it is aspirational. Some of it is actually operational, and we're doing those things.
Follow up. I'm going to be grumpy for just a second. I have heard this refrain through all these agency presentations. You got to buy us another computer so we can do stuff. And in the meantime, we're just marching at parade rest. I want to know things. Are you doing like exit interviews? I want to know whether or not anybody from your shop watched any of the Ways and Means hearing, because we that sat here heard how bad morale is at DOR. We heard how difficult it is to fill positions in project delivery at ODOT and had Director Garrett confirm that on the record. We continuously hear that frontline workers are reticent to come forward for fear of retaliation. And I want to know what you as the Chief Human Resource Officer are doing other than waiting for us to buy you new computers so you can start to do the work.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Johnson, we too have heard those challenges. We were watching the hearing in particular on the Department of Revenue, and in concert with our office, with the governor's office and the Department of Revenue, we're starting meetings every other week to talk about their management plan to develop and address the challenges that you heard, that you've raised with them, and I think work in lockstep in terms of when we see an agency that is struggling, how we're helping them be successful. Exit interviews tend to be more agency specific. And when I think back in the Department of Agriculture, in our agency, we would try to do exit interviews with employees that were leaving, because that's valuable information for the agency. What's working well? You know, why did you leave? What were those factors driving that? So I am learning that the Chief Human Resources Office in the Department of Administrative Services has an interesting role in terms of how we interact with our various state agencies. How much happens at the agency level? How much we try to do collaboratively? Madeline has an HR advisors group, which meets on a very regular basis, made up a lot of the HR advisors from the larger agencies to really identify what are the challenges in those agencies, where do the agencies want to try to address them on their own, or where do we need a more collective statewide approach to some of those challenges. So I wouldn't say there's a set, here's the issue, what does DAS CHRO do, what does an agency do, et cetera. We tend to take it more on a case-by-case basis.
This remains a target of opportunity because we're rapidly coming to a close. But a few other things. cause me to wonder what you are doing. DAS, the mother of all agencies, supposed to be setting the tone and best practices for other agencies. This session, more than any other, I have heard about what I'm going to call manipulations of recruiting. A recruitment is opened, the recruitment is announced failed, and then there's a mysterious promotion from inside of a person who maybe would not have met the minimum qualifications of the, quote, failed recruitment. And I want to know what efforts you're making to identify those situations and to remediate them. That's a violation of stated practices. I think it is gross manipulation of the system. And that has been a theme this session. Another thing that concerns me is how we're monitoring the movement of people within state agency. A manager, for example, and this is a hypothetical, fails in one agency and mysteriously pops up in another one. And I think for taxpayers and for the legislature, that's getting to be an increasingly annoying practice. If you're a bad manager sufficiently to be removed from a position, how is it that there's a soft landing someplace else? And so I'm worried about the number of times we've heard about frontline people worried about retaliation, worried about bad morale, worried about these manipulated promotion practices or recruitments. And I'm looking for some answers from you as the chief human resources person.
Senator Manning, Senator Johnson, members of the committee, there are times that those things don't reach my desk. And that's where it's helpful, I think, as we heard earlier in the day. If you have specific information, I would really like you to get that to me if you're comfortable doing so, or the individual that brings it forward is comfortable in doing so. There are a number of
ways. They're too frightened of retaliation to bring it forward. I think that's pernicious. And I think that's something that you ought to be worried about. But please continue. Yeah.
Senator Johnson, we're always worried about that. Those are the kinds of things that keep a human resources person up at night, because we really are about the people. There are a number of ways that that information can get to us through employees or through their managers, your concerns about inappropriate, you know, hiring, inappropriate HR-type practice. When they do come our way and we get them, we have a unit within my office, Human Resources, that does investigate those concerns and complaints when they come forward. We hadn't heard as much, I think we were, Director Koba and I were looking at one another, about the concerns about recruitment, and certainly that's something that we would take very seriously and want to look into if you had any details to share with us, but we haven't heard as much of that.
One of the recruitments, just as a general class, I think all of us on this committee were dumbstruck to hear that DOR cannot hire accountants. And that was a recurring theme, and I would look to my colleagues for validation, but we sat right in this room and heard that. Project managers at ODOT is one. And I guess my bigger question is, rather than airing the specifics of a case in public, if I was able to demonstrate to you that there had been a manipulation of a recruitment practice, what is the response? Do you undo it, or do you say, oops, we won't let that happen again? Or, I mean, are there consequences when, if it's founded that there was a conscious attempt to get around a recruitment protocol?
Co-Chair Manning, Senator Johnson, I hate to give you this answer, but it depends. We'd want to research and see what the specific situation was. If there were rules that were violated, certainly, you know, we can hold people accountable within our system, and we do hold people accountable in our system for many things. So it would really depend on the situation. And I wanted to answer your other question about accountants, for example. We are aware that that's a problem, that we can't get accountants. We also know IT people are very difficult to get. So some of the things that we're doing with our classification and compensation unit, and we just finished up some of that today, is looking at our qualifications. Do we even have the right qualifications anymore? Many of our classifications haven't been revisited for a very long time, and those qualifications and requirements that are on the announcements and in our classifications need to be accurate. So we're going back to the agencies and saying, you know, we understand you're having recruitment difficulties. Is there something we can do on our end, on our classifications, so that we're able to hire the appropriate people?
And last but not least, Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, I've been here long enough to have heard this same story over and over and over again. When is the reclass, the classification study, going to occur, or do we have to wait until we buy you a new IT system?
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, are you referring to the management project class work, or are you talking about overarching all classifications within state government?
The latter.
So I'll let Madeline clarify if I'm incorrect. But so classifications in non-management positions tend to be reviewed every biennium during labor negotiations. They've got a much more rigorous opportunity to say, we think this classification is incorrect, it needs to be reviewed, and that happens in the collective bargaining process. The management system, the principal exec management system that you've probably been familiar with, has not been updated in many, many, many years, and that's been the focus of the Oregon Management Project, which I've been leading over the course of the last 4 years. I think there's probably too much information to share at this point in time. I'm happy to come back in and update you on that piece of the work that we're doing, but correct me if I'm wrong, Madeline, the non-management classifications, they do get reviewed on a fairly regular basis.
Okay. So as a follow-up, could you please apply a more detail to Senator Johnson as well as to the board regarding that question? Unfortunately, the House is going to be convening at 4 o'clock, we're going to have to move forward. And then if we can supply that, then that will be very helpful. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures with the correction that was noted, I think, would be included in that motion.
Yep. Okay. So that would be Representative Gomberg have moved the LFO recommendation on key performance measurements with modification. Are there any questions? Any objections?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends a budget of $9,896,808 of general fund, $22,260,472 of lottery funds, $898,413,094 of other funds, and $129,986,751 of other funds non-limited, 898 positions, and 893.75 FTE, which is reflected in the Dash 3 amendment.
Co-Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 5002.
Representative Gomberg moved the adoption of the Dash 3 amendments to HB 5002. Are there any questions, any comments, any objections?
Mr. Chairman of the committee, LFO recommends that House Bill 5002, as amended by the Dash 3 amendment, be moved to the Ways and Means Full Committee.
Mr. Co-Chair, at the risk of sounding redundant, I move House Bill 5002 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gomberg has moved House Bill 5002 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Nierman.
So I have a few things to say on this budget here. So it's a small part of the budget, but one of the things that's in there is about $500,000 for the Oregon Public Broadcasting. And I think that there's we don't need state-run media in the state of Oregon. And I know a lot of people like OPB, but they need to listen to mattress commercials and gold prospectors, just like I do when I listen to my radio station. So I'm a little bit disappointed in that. On another note, I had submitted a budget note that I was hoping to be included in this budget, and I hope that it gets honored somehow, because I think it's pretty easy. And what it's a transparency issue is during the software development process, they have a stage gate process, and they develop a bunch of documents or artifacts in conjunction with that. And I think that it's very important that these documents, to the extent that it's appropriate to do so and legal to do so, need to be made available to the public. And so I've asked several times of the state CIO's office, and I think I put a bug in LFO's ear too, that these documents, as they're created and as the stage is approved by the state CIO, need to be put on a website where they're accessible to the public and to the media. and to people like me who might actually read them. So I'm just going to ask that, even though that budget note didn't get included in here, that hopefully can be honored somehow, and I'll continue to push on that. So those are some comments that I have.
Okay. So are there any other discussions? Okay. Are there any objections?
Here are the standardies.
Yeah. And we're going to temporary recess. And there was a motion. Do we need to redo the motion?
I think the motion's on the table to move the House Bill 5002 as amended to full committee.
Okay, the motion is as was to Representative Gomberg move that House Bill 5002 as amended to the full committee with due pass recommendation. Are there any objections to the motion?
I'll object, sir.
There is Representative Nierman. Are there any others? Motion passes. Now we need a carrier. This is a big bill here, so. All right. Co-chair has it for the four ways and also for the floor.
Mr. Co-chair, if the co-chair doesn't want it, I'll take it to the House.
Okay, so we're going to put down Representative Gomberg for the House then. So
if the co-chair.
If the co-chair doesn't want it, we'll put that little adage in there. So with that being said, we're going to close the work session on HB 5002. Are there any other discussions, anything else for the good of the board? If not, thank you very much. Anything?
No, sir.
Nope. Thank you very much, and we are adjourned. Adjourned.
No, sir.
Nope. Thank you very much, and we are adjourned.